I'll get this. Thank you. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 reads as follows, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this service that we've enjoyed together tonight. Thank you for leading the people who have requested songs and who have given testimony tonight. Thank you that you have been the focal point of all of this. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the next few moments. Help me to say something that would be for your honor and glory and that can be of usefulness and will edify your people. Encourage us and help us as we conclude our service tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I'd like to ask a little simple question tonight. It's kind of been on my heart. The question is this: what's wrong with our prayers? Did you ever ask yourself that question before? What's wrong with our prayers? I guess one thing that maybe leads us to ask a question like that is when we feel that we haven't availed in prayer or been effective in prayer in the way that we ought to. Of course, I suppose you ask a broad question like that. Someone might say, what's wrong with our prayers or what's wrong with your prayers? Somebody might say, well, probably a lot of things, and that's probably true. But in the context of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, think about this for a moment. Here we're promised something that is amazing. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But did you ever think to yourself, you know, I pray and I don't always have that peace. And I know I need that peace and I want that peace. And I try to commit these things to God, but I don't always seem to have that peace. What's wrong with my prayers? And I wondered if maybe tonight I couldn't draw your attention to something that I was impressed with the other day as I was thinking about these verses and thinking about this service. And I really wonder if maybe a lot of the answer to that question is in verse 6 with a little phrase that applies so well for an evening like tonight. And it's the little phrase, with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, it says. Anxiety. Anxiety is a real problem. I'd like to mention, first of all, corroding care. Corroding care. That's kind of a picturesque way of expressing it, isn't it? I wish I could claim it's original. It isn't. Fanny Crosby used that way of characterizing exactly what I'm talking about, and I think what Paul is talking about in this verse when he says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. You know, she wrote that gospel song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And, of course, it's widely used at funerals. One notable time that it was so used was for Ulysses S. Grant. It was used on that occasion as he was laid to rest on the 8th of August, 1885. The second stanza contains that phrase, kind of interesting. She writes, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there, free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Corroding care. You know, with the advance of medical science, it's been able to confirm for us something that I'm sure that we can sense just by watching ourselves and just by making practical observations about life. And that is how truly befitting a word like that is when care becomes anxiety, when care becomes worry. It's harmful to us. We can notice that about ourselves. But as I say, in this day of advanced medicine, or the advances that have been made, we're able to have that documented in so many different ways. How care, that when it goes awry, when it becomes anxiety, when it becomes worry, robs us of sleep, raises our blood pressure, hinders our enjoyment of our food, all sorts of things like this we know to be negative impacts of not obeying God in what he says here, corroding care. We're commanded not to worry. God promises peace, but so often we lack it. Why is that? Then we come to the second thought that's in that verse number 6 that I wanted to mention tonight, and that centers around the little phrase, with thanksgiving. I want to call this tonight uplifting praise. Because to my way of thinking about this and presenting it to you tonight, the thoughts that God has given to me, you see, all of a sudden, the searching heart, say, you're asking yourself this question, what's wrong with our prayers? And God has promised us this peace. We don't always have this peace, even though we pray. What's wrong with our prayers? God has promised. Surely God doesn't default on His promise. And the searching heart, looking at these verses, looks at verse 6 and says, be careful for nothing. Okay, I understand that. That's a command. And then it says that we're to pray. Okay, I've done that. But why? What's wrong? And then you find this little phrase, with thanksgiving, and you stop and think about that for a few moments. Folks, when we do, I think we become convinced of something. Thanksgiving has an incredible power. What kind of power? Well, just expressed in practical terms, it's like this. See, it changes the focus. Changes the focus from ourselves and the problem to God and the solution. Now, just stop and think about that for a moment. You know, I found that I have the greatest success, and I don't mean to use a business term, but I found that I have the greatest success and the greatest enjoyment in my prayers when I don't just light into asking God for things. Now, I don't script my prayers. Some people do that, I suppose, and I'm just glad for you to pray, so don't take a wrong meaning out of what I'm saying tonight, but I don't script my prayers. And what I mean by that is I don't have a set routine I always follow, and I don't have a set list I always follow, and I don't always do this in a methodical order. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying tonight is I have found that I have the greatest success in keeping my focus right and in feeling like I'm connecting with God when I make myself stop after my Bible reading and I know I'm going to go to prayer and I make myself go through a little mental exercise and it's like this. It's like, I just read that. What did it mean to me? What in there did I need? What in there speaks to me? How do I apply this to my life? And I don't do that forever and ever and ever, but I almost consistently make myself do that. Now, you have days where you read something and something just leaps off the page, and then I don't have to do it. But you know, not every day is like that, right? Not every day is just one of those red-letter days where you just feel you've gotten the charismatic inoculation. And I make myself go through that exercise, and when I make myself go through that exercise, I find all of a sudden it changes the focus. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. It changes the focus. Art Carpio was talking about this past weekend when he had that little phrase, it's all about God, it's not about us. And it isn't that God doesn't design prayer and factor into prayer the capability and the opportunity and even the invitation and encouragement for us to come and to bring our requests. That's in this verse. That's part of peace, because praying to God about the things that bother and concern us is the Christian alternative to worry. But the power of thanksgiving is incredible because it changes that focus from ourselves. It changes the focus from the problem and shifts it to God. Because there's something you can thank God for, even in the most difficult times, there's something you can thank God for. It shifts the focus from ourselves and the problem to God and the solution. And then once you follow that line for a little while, you start realizing how big God is. And the moment you start realizing how big God is, you realize how all-encompassing His promises are. And when you start realizing how all-encompassing His promises are, then you become convicted about how unprofitable, even how wrong, worry is. I wish I could stand up here tonight and tell you I have a total victory over that, but I'm sure a lot of people here can identify with what I'm talking about tonight. What's wrong with our prayers? Well, maybe the focus is all wrong in the thing. Maybe we haven't prepared our hearts to seek God and see God and forced ourselves to focus on how big He is, His promises, how great they are. Recently, I had a request for some information and actually had it for a little while. I think it was in someone else's email and didn't get to me, and it finally got to me in my email, and I looked at it, and as soon as I looked at it, I thought to myself, I have to pray about that. And what it was Michelle Ehrsman had sent me an email requesting information about a follow-up article on the thing that was done back here last August on the occasion that you folks chose to surprise me with a 20th year recognition time. And she asked some questions, and I wanted to pray about the answers that I would give to those questions. And then she had a little thing in there about memories. Well, good night. I mean, you know, what do you do with that? there's so many memories, too many memories, and I'm just thankful that I forget a lot of the bad ones. Unfortunately, sometimes we forget the good ones too. And then we come to a service like this and we see some things, or we hear a song or something like that, and it brings something like that back. Well, I was pondering this and I thought, well, I'm not going to give any memory. And I gave something else instead. And then all of a sudden, I got the answer to my prayer. I said, this is what I'm going to share. And it actually was something that happened before I ever came here. And I was praying, and I was actually praying with a great deal of stress, because it had come to the end of the time that I had. I had told the people there in Illinois that God was leading me on and it was time to go, and it was time to take a church. I had told them that when I came, and I felt the time was right to do that. But you know, when you work in a situation like that, you have time constraints, and the guy that they had hired to replace me was pretty much already there, breathing down everybody's neck, inquiring about when my office would be available and all those kinds of things. My wife is smiling. She remembers that. And I had gone back. It was a day in June. I had gone back into the bedroom in our apartment to pray. And I had kneeled down there by the bed, and I was crying because I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew that I had a need and a prayer request, and I knew that somewhere out there God had something for me, but I was focused on the problems that I had. And I was praying and going through. All of a sudden, I heard singing. And it was my wife out in the kitchen. And she was singing that little gospel song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the skies are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." When I heard that, I think I cried more, because I realized that God had spoken to me, and God had told me what I needed to know, and it changed my focus. Well, that isn't the end of the story. It was that later that day, afternoon, I can't remember, or early evening, when the first phone call came from here. But Jack Rehart was the chairman of the pulpit committee. He called. And things moved really pretty rapidly from that point. But folks, I think this is what I'm trying to say tonight. You know, Thanksgiving has such an incredible power because it changes our focus. And finally, when this happens, then we realize how wrong we've been. And we realize how wrong worry is, and we begin to confess our lack of faith, and peace returns. And then finally, we're in a position to look at the last part of this, which is the resulting peace. And soon we're led to confess our worry and our lack of faith for the sin that they are, and peace returns, often a peace that passes our ability to explain, especially when we realize how prone we are to worry and have a self-focus. I hope that the Lord will use this service tonight. It's one of the reasons that we always try to incorporate testimonies into it, because it has a way of just lifting us in and out of ourselves and shifting our focus back to God. And I'm praying. It is truly my prayer for myself and for my family and our home and for yours and for our church family, that tomorrow when we gather, that's exactly what the Lord will allow us to have, a day of focus on Him, His goodness, His bigness, what He's able to do and what He has done. And in that, I think we'll have the rest and the peace that we seek. We'll close tonight with page 600 and something. This yellow thing keeps getting away from me. I'm sorry, it's page 480, Near to the Heart of God.